Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Bucks versus Rams D.
Yep.
Get it out of here.
Get that trash out of here. How dare you do that to my artwork?
It was just a copy.
God.
A copy.
Okay, you're right. This is the original.
You got the original. Keep that one.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a Mozart.
It's a Mozart.
Good. Well played.
It's week 5 in the books, and we're going to react because that's what we do.
So this is what I was crumpling up.
Yes, copies.
Copies of your notes.
Not the original Mozart.
Not the original. Of the two deep dives.
Yes.
That you took last week. And
right.
You'll take again here this week.
You know it. And we're going to go with Packers Cowboys, which was a shocker. And we're going to go with Cowboys Colts. I don't know, Cowboys Colts. Chiefs Colts.
Yeah.
Which were probably the two most shocking, I think, results of the day for me, for most people out there. Fun games, and we will deep dive into them. Ahmed, what's up, dude? How are you? Your chest hair looks great today.
I got it out today.
Damn,
I'm
you're sexy.
It fly.
Yeah,
I'm
letting it fly. That's what Chris Sims unbuttoned is for. To let it fly. Have you actually sworn on this podcast yet?
No.
No. What a fucking loser.
I don't know that I have sworn in this building, to be honest.
Is that right?
On air or off air?
Oh, well, I'm a goody two shoes.
I'm a goody two shoes. No, that's not true.
Oh.
I have a bad side to
Fine,
me.
Fine, say a bad word.
No, I won't do that. But I do every once in a while. You know this about me. I'll drink a Rockstar Energy.
Oh, wow.
No big deal. Or a Monster Energy. Or honestly, or two Red Bulls in a day.
You live dangerously.
I do. And I go two buttons down. I think that's dangerous.
That is dangerous. I wouldn't do that. I know that. But I would do a lot worse in the other departments, okay?
Yeah. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe I'll get mad enough that the Lions will do something stupid.
Are you worried about swearing? Like your reputation?
No, I just don't normally do it.
No, okay.
And so I figure, why start?
Okay, right? Good. I didn't know. I thought maybe your kids were watching our podcast.
No, I just normally don't.
They're not.
You got to be yourself, right?
Yeah, right.
If it happens organically, it'll happen organically.
Okay. And you're not a cusser. It's not in your normal language. Yes.
A lot of other weird things I do, but cursing is not one.
Yes. Okay. I mean, yeah, a lot of weird things you do. Okay. All right. What's up, everybody? Hope everybody's good. All right. Well, we got some news to get into that was relevant today. Let's do it. I mean, we might as well.
I call this segment, So You Want to Be a Gruden. So You Want to Be a Gruden, which can be really good for one Gruden.
Right.
John Gruden with the Raiders. I do want to talk about that game.
Yes, we will. Yeah.
Jay Gruden, his key card no longer works.
Yeah.
For the Redskins. He was fired at 5 a.m. is the story that he got called in by Daniel Snyder there. And it's not unexpected, but I know, Chris, that you were someone that said you weren't in support of it when we talked about it last week.
No, I mean, I wasn't in support of it. I don't think that Jay Gruden is, like, the number one issue with the Washington Redskins organization, where I just looked at it and went, oh, now I get it. I understand him being on the hot seat and all of that. It is a results-oriented business, and when you don't perform and the team doesn't look good, the head coach usually is the man that is held accountable. As you've heard me say, there's a lot of issues with this organization and football team in general. He's not the one that fucked up the Trent Williams situation, okay? Yeah. I mean, he's not the one that, you know, messed up the Kirk Cousins situation before this and all of that. He's not the one that's built this team. He really didn't have very much say in how it was built in general. So, you know, he's not the reason that they're on Adrian Peterson's, like, one of their running backs, and he's, like, 35 years old. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of other issues with the team. I understand it. I wasn't sure if they would actually pull the trigger as far as this time of the year right now. My one question about this whole thing is, yes, okay, they lost yesterday. We expected them to lose. I don't know how you can really look at the first 5 weeks of the schedule and think they were going to win any game on there except for the Giants last week, which they laid an egg. And But how much of the decision, and I will get to the bottom of this, was made just because of the Dwayne Haskins thing? That's where I really would like to know, and I will call people and try to figure out what the kind of the backstory there is.
Which would mean that at the beginning of the year that basically Jay Gruden was not going to make it through the end of the year, because the reporting out there is the coaching staff and Jay Gruden did not want Dwayne Haskins. They didn't like him there in the mid-round or middle of the first round.
Yep.
Ownership, Bruce Allen, they were on board.
Sure.
And so it got me thinking about it too. And we always say, it's a cliche to say, you got to be on the same page.
Yes.
Right? You
got to
have the ownership on the same page. The GM is the head coach, obviously.
Yes.
But here's some of the fallout of that is because if you're Jay Gruden, everyone wants to be right.
Right.
Right? You want to be right.
Yeah.
It's just a natural human thing.
Right.
So if you're Jay Gruden, you want to be right. You want to say, yeah, I don't think we should have taken Dwayne Haskins. Does that mean you're not going to coach him up? No, not necessarily.
Right.
But you're not as invested in his, you know, you're the coach of the team, but still at the same time, if he goes on and performs really well, and it's like, yeah, you were wrong. That guy was worthy of a mid first round pick.
Yeah.
Same way the other way with the GM and the ownership.
Yeah, sure.
Right? If that guy doesn't perform, it's the head coach's fault. You're making me look bad.
Yeah, well, and the thing I'll say with what you're saying to the quarterback situation, even though he might not have been in favor of Dwayne Haskins, he wasn't coming in going, oh gosh, I'm gonna make him not look like the first rounder. He understood that he had to make Dwayne Haskins look good and wanted to make him look good, or that was going to look bad on Jay Gruden too and would just be another notch or another piece of evidence.
Would it look bad on him, though, or would it look worse on the ownership?
Well, I think
GM?
Ultimately people would go, well, Jay Gruden can't develop a young quarterback, and the organization's going to look at him and go, oh, he can't really work with this guy. He can't get outside of his comfort zone with this quarterback and work to his strengths and weaknesses. So, no, I don't think he's that petty. There's players drafted all the time where the coach has no say, or I'd rather have this middle linebacker or this tackle. They don't get it, and they ultimately have to make the best of it. So I don't think that was the issue. You know, my whole issue with the situation is a little just this with the Dwayne Haskins thing that bothers me is, and you've heard me say this, I think, but on Monday night a few weeks ago, a lot of people were, you know, beating their hands on the desk. Dwayne Haskins should be coming in the second half for Chicago Bears. Then they put him in against the shitty New York Giants, and it's, oh, you set him up to fail.
Yeah.
You know? And then I just wonder how much of Colt McCoy being named the starter against the New England Patriots. So that's not the game you want to start Dwayne Haskins anyways.
No.
But did the organization still want Haskins to start this last game? I don't know. Those are the things I'm interested in. Jay Gruden, big picture.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the kind of guy that will probably sit out of football maybe for a little bit. I don't think he's going to be going to look for an offensive coordinator job. Or he's not going to get another head coaching job at this point right now. Certainly not. I think he's the kind of guy that will have to go be an offensive coordinator, build his resume again. Maybe he gets another crack at it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, in knowing Jay and being around him for a number of years when I was in Tampa, Jay's a pretty chill, cool guy. I would think he maybe just kind of like, okay, I had my run. I made some money. He might just fade to black. I wouldn't be shocked with Jay Gruden. Or maybe he goes out to the Raiders and helps his brother out in some consultant-type role, something like that. But, I don't think we're going to see him on the scene here, at least for the next little bit.
We will see Bill Callahan on the scene for the Washington Redskins. He is now the interim head coach. Bruce Allen talked about that and this decision of firing Jay Gruden.
To make a decision like this is a difficult, but it was necessary. Our 0-5 start is not just disappointing. We had much different expectations for this beginning of the season. It'll be up to Coach Callahan, who plays at any position, the same way it was up to Coach Gruden on who's going to play. We're thrilled to have Dwayne here. We think his future is very bright, and whatever gives Coach Callahan the formula for success, I'm sure he's going to do.
How safe is Bruce Allen, and how safe do you think he should be?
Well, I can't imagine that Bruce Allen's real safe, and I don't think he should be real safe. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, is certainly instrumental in making this hire to get Jay Gruden there. I mean, you know, Bruce Allen was the GM down in Tampa when, you know, I was there with Jay and John and everybody else. So, you know, hey, Bruce Allen got there with the Shanahans. It didn't go great then. It didn't go great with Jay Gruden. Like I said, you know, the Kirk Cousins situation, that was kind of fumbled by the organization. I'm not putting that all on Bruce Allen. And I'm not saying we should put it all on Bruce Allen either. I feel a little bit like the Jay Gruden issue there, where it's not all Bruce here either. There's other issues, again, within the organization. But, you know, he was instrumental in hiring a guy like McLuhan, or the old GM who got in trouble with the drinking problems and their alleged drinking problems and everything like that. Scott McLuhan, excuse me if I mispronounced it, but. You know, I think ultimately this is going to be an organization that's going to – Dan Snyder's going to have to look at it and really probably blow it up and start back from scratch, get a new regime in there, and see where it goes from there.
Probably not the most attractive
coaching job
out there.
There's
issues. Ed Werder's reporting that in talking with the ownership over there, the possible names on the radar, Mike Tomlin, who currently has a job, who should just stay in Pittsburgh. He should be in Pittsburgh his whole career.
Well, yeah,
I don't want to see that.
I don't know if they're going to want him there either.
That's true.
When it's all said and done. That might have run its course. And, you know, the Pittsburgh fans have been very impatient with Mike Tomlin, too. I feel like actually they realize, man, Antonio Brown was a little bit more of an issue than they realize now, and they've actually like backed off of Mike Tomlin a little bit.
I love Mike Tomlin.
But I understand that. Again, Bruce Allen, Mike Tomlin, we were down there in Tampa together. You know, Mike Tomlin is the kind of guy that can come into an organization, reshape it, re-energize it, give it a common focus. That's what I would love about a Mike Tomlin, certainly. The other names you said?
Todd Bowles.
Right.
Okay. Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, okay.
So the Chiefs right now.
I mean, Todd Bowles. I'm not so sure I'm as fired up about that one. I really like Todd Bowles, the human being and the defensive coordinator. I'm not so sure I love the head coach that I saw with the New York Jets, okay? Bieniemy, I am for that, and I could see that working. I mean, I don't know why Bieniemy didn't get more chances to be a head coaching candidate last year. You know, there was rumors, and I think he got to talk to a few people, but nothing was taken serious, and I just go, man, Matt Nagy got to be a head coach after 1 year as an OC basically in Kansas City. Eric Bieniemy's offense was way more dangerous. And, of course, yes, he did have Patrick Mahomes. But I was just shocked he didn't get more play in that regard anyways. And then I also look at Eric Bieniemy, and just from what I know out in Kansas City, from what I've seen, his interactions with, like, when I see NFL film stuff on the sidelines, man, he's got the right way about him to be a head coach. I really think he's head coach material. Mm-hmm. And he fits that mold of young offensive guy, right? It's a McVay version type of guy. Hey, this guy's a young offensive mind, a lot of energy, has some creative things they do on offense, and obviously knows how to work with a young quarterback. Right. And that's what it will take there in Washington.
True.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
I got a pop quiz for you.
Okay.
Last first-team All-Pro for Washington.
Last?
Who was it?
First team
All-NFL.
Okay.
We're going back to 19.
I mean.
It's not even in the last.
I know. I would have sent Trent Williams. So it was not
Trent
him.
Trent Williams, no.
But so wait, it's in the 19. What? Give me the year. Because if we're going all the way back then.
1996. We got to go back 20 plus years.
Are you effing kidding me?
Last first team All-Pro.
Holy crap. I can't even think of the 1996 Washington Redskins right now. Hold on. Just give me a second.
Trent Williams did have 7 Pro Bowls.
Yes, but he never went All-Pro.
No first team All-Pro.
Okay. Is this on the offense or defensive side of the ball?
No, neither.
It's a kicker?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Who? I didn't remember.
Punter Matt Turk in 1996.
He was a good punter, but I didn't realize that.
So there might be a little a dearth of talent. That was before the Dan Snyder regime. So Dan Snyder has not had a first-team All-Pro.
Wow.
Washington player.
That's pretty amazing. It really is. I mean, the Redskins haven't been totally irrelevant through the Dan Snyder years. You would think they had at least got one here or there, but okay.
One point real quick on the Patriots, who did win this game.
Yeah.
5-0 now. I do want to say Sony Michel.
Yeah.
He faced a stacked box 63% of the time, most in the NFL.
Right.
Still had a good day.
Yeah.
So well,
they're one of the best running teams in football. This is, again, why I keep telling everybody to take notice. The best teams in football right now, the best offenses in football, minus Kansas City, which has issues that we'll get into in a minute, are running the football and playing power football. And, you know, they're not running RPOs either. And they're just – they're going smash mouth that way. And, of course, yeah, when you can run the ball that way, when you have a quarterback who's 42 years old, then that makes things a lot easier for him because it's more optimal passing looks and he can strike that way. It took Brady and New England a little while to find their way yesterday. But ultimately they finally did, and Brady made some good throws.
Yeah, Tom's like, you know, I wouldn't mind a better running game.
No,
you know,
I mean, guys, well, they're playing more the style of football they played when they won their first three Super Bowls. When Tom Brady was really young, that's the style of ball they're playing now, and of course the defense is really good. You know, those 2007, 2011, those teams that lost in the Super Bowl, the one that won in 2014, that was more Tom Brady, shotgun, make it happen, throwing the ball, work the pocket, make a decision, right. Great decision every time. That's not what they ask him to do anymore. Now it's less decisions and more big-time throws, which is the impressive thing about Tom Brady. You know, I would argue in 2011, 12, 13, it was a lot of dink and dunk and bullshit like that. Now when he drops back to pass, you see the highlights yesterday, they're looking to strike and make plays down the field. Okay. Right. Yeah.
How about the other Gruden? So you want to be a Gruden. You want to be a Gruden, you want to be John.
You want to be John today.
Be Jay, right? Although maybe Jay's happier, right? He's like, thank God.
Yeah, he's like, I don't have to work
anymore. Yeah, although, you know, that comes up a lot. Is my key going to work? Wherever I've worked, I've always noticed that, like, people come back a year later. I'm like, how'd you get in the building? They're like, my key still works.
Yeah.
They don't really shut off the key.
Yeah, you're right. They probably don't.
9 times out of 10.
They don't expect anybody to, like, you're not going to be the type of loser that's going to come back, are you?
How'd you park in the garage? My key still works. Oh, really? It's incredible. So, John Gruden, they won. Again, they were out in London.
Yeah.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the team that calls Tottenham Stadium home.
Yes.
Tottenham, they're not very good. Raiders might be the best football team that have played in that stadium in a while. They beat the Bears 24-21. This was supposed to be the game where Khalil Mack came back and destroyed the Raiders. The Bears had the third most sacks in the NFL. They didn't get one against Derek Carr. Raiders got up to an early lead and held on. How impressed were you with what they did?
I mean, this might be the most impressive win of the day, I mean, by any team. I certainly did not expect the Oakland Raiders not only to win the game, but I think what makes it more impressive is the fashion in which they did it. That's what I think is shocking to me more than anything. And I do think it all starts with John Gruden. I got to give him really the majority of the credit here. One, really great game planning on the offensive side of the ball. He's managing Derek Carr the right way. He realizes, I don't, have a healthy Tyrell Williams. I'm not going to let Derek Carr ruin the game and throw stupid balls down the field, interceptions like that. So a lot of high percentage, intermediate, short passes with
almost
Derek Carr.
Almost all,
right? And then the other thing is, and Johnny Gruden always used to say this, we're going to pound the rock. He stays patient with the run. It's one of the greatest things that John Gruden does. Just like Sean Payton, he doesn't care necessarily if it's successful, but he's going to continue to keep the attempts going. He's not going to let a defense, especially like the Chicago Bears, just go, they're going to forget about the run. Let me pin my ears back and just rush the passer all day long. And I got to say, I don't know. I just off the top of my head, I haven't seen the Bears front pushed around like that in a while. I really haven't. I mean, they were pushed around. Now, that Raiders O-line is sneaky good in the run game. When you get into Rodney Hudson, he's one of the better centers in football.
Yeah.
You know, incognito at guard, we know he's powerful. Trent Brown at right tackle is maybe the best, most powerful run-blocking tackle in the sport. Hmm. Colton Miller, left tackle, first-round pick from last year. So they got guys, and Gabe Jackson's injured. He's not even in there. And then they got a stud running back who is really good.
You were high on Josh Jacobs from the moment the Raiders drafted
him. I was. Well, I knew they would know how to use him. And I think
he's going to be Alvin Kamara.
I thought so, right. That's, and he's looking a little bit more of a power back than maybe Alvin Kamara at this point, but certainly a huge part of their offense and their team and controlling the clock. And then the other thing is, the defense. I mean, we did just real quickly. The defense is good in Oakland, not great, but I think the game planning's been good. And the other thing I'll say is the Bears' offense sucks. I don't know the way to say it. It just sucks. That's all there is to it. I'm sick of, trying to make excuses. It's not Mitchell Trubisky's fault. They suck when he's not in there, too.
It's Chase Daniels' fault.
Well, they probably won't blame him because for some reason I don't know why. Trubisky's a guy we want to jump
don't
on.
Expect it.
Chase Daniel, it's like whatever. But, I don't know what there is to look at it. And this game's misleading. This score is misleading. I mean, just think about it.
Wasn't that close.
You'd think about how the Bears got one touchdown off of, it looks like Josh Jacobs messed up and thought he was, going to get a run play, and it was supposed to be a toss. So the Bears pick it up and get a one play, I think 16-yard drive, touchdown. The other time they scored a touchdown was off the Tariq Cohen punt return that set them up for, let me just make sure here, a one-play 16-yard drive. That time, the other time I was talking about was a two-play 14-yard drive. The Bears only had one legitimate drive the whole game. That's embarrassing, okay? And the talent's overrated. Matt Nagy's overrated. The quarterback play is not good. And I'm sick of hearing about Matt Nagy and his full offense isn't in with Mitchell Trubisky. Well, if that was the full offense yesterday, you got work to do. I'm just sick of hearing that from people around the NFL and him.
Raiders are good. They beat Indy. They beat the Bears now. Two good teams. And to speak to the point that you were talking about Derek Carr, he threw it on average 7 yards in front of the first down line. It was the most conservative quarterback of the week in the NFL this week was Derek Carr. Just 2 passes, 10 or more yards down the field. They didn't need to.
Yeah, no, they didn't need to. And I think there was one of those ones that was 10 or yards more down the field was like an out route to the tight end that set up that last touchdown to go ahead and win the game where, hey, that was a pinpoint throw. He kind of manipulated the corner, turned his shoulders, got the guy to go into the flat, and then he found a little hole to hit Moreau, the tight end, who's done a good job for them.
You'd rather be John than Jay.
Yeah, yes, you would. Well, yes. And John's supposed it's 10-year, $100 million contract. That's just true. Do that over, too.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
All right. Mike Tirico, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yep.
Okay? The godfather of NBC Sports, all right? Mike Tirico podcast. Tirico, he's all over the place, man. I mean, last Thursday, he did the Rams-Seahawks game, okay? It was a radio call from Westwood One.
Yep.
Saturday, I was with him in Notre Dame, right, getting ready for that debacle of a game, Notre Dame versus Bowling Green, all right? We come back. We do Sunday Night Football pregame show, Football
Stanford,
Night in America from Stanford, Connecticut. I mean, he's the man.
He's everywhere.
Yes, he is.
And he's never tired. He's always in a good mood.
Always in a good mood.
And he's a super nice guy.
No, it's sickening how great of a human he is.
It makes me mad.
Yeah, it does. Like, I strive to be better, and then I realize I can't be like him, so fuck it, okay? but latest pod, he had the Week 5 review. Also, talking to the guys on the set, Tirico, Dungy, all that, and the big conversation – does Christian McCaffrey deserve to be an MVP candidate,
which is
a good one. And that will be on the Mike Tirico podcast. Always a good listen. Yeah. He knows a lot of people in football and going to give you some good angles.
They played good defense. I mean, they played man coverage. They rushed with four people, and they found ways to get pressure and to cover long enough. And so for us, I mean, Detroit did it last week. New England did it in the playoffs. I mean, we're gonna have to beat man coverage at the end of the day, and we got the guys to do it. So now it's about just going out there and executing whenever teams present it to us.
Time for the deep dive.
Yeah.
We're taking a deep dive into the Chiefs and Colts. We'll start with the Chiefs offense, Patrick Mahomes, and it was something that you noted in your watching a game film of this and how the Colts did it, and he mentioned it too, how the Lions went man-to-man.
Right.
You before the game, you didn't think that necessarily the Colts had the personnel
no.
to be able to pull it off.
No.
They dinged up in the secondary. The Colts have been.
And they're not a man-to-man team. That they don't really like to play man-to-man. So I did not know if they would venture down that road to match up.
So let's get into it.
Yeah.
So what'd you see? They were able to do it and do it effectively.
Yeah, do it effectively. Listen, I mean, it's easier to play to man-to-man when you don't have to worry about Tyreek Hill, and then you find out in the first drive that Sammy Watkins has got a pulled hamstring, and then you all of a sudden your corners go, oh, yeah, we'll get up there and play man-to-man.
If Sammy plays, do you think they could do
the
same thing?
I think they could have. I don't think they would have dabbled in it quite as much. I think we would have saw a little more zone because they would have been like, there's only so many times we can leave a guy man-to-man and a Sammy Watkins. Disappointed in the Chiefs altogether, though, okay? Really am. Second week in a row, team played a man-to-man. Shocked they didn't have more man-to-man beaters in the game plan. In fact, saw a lot of carryover plays that from what I saw last week. You know, if I had to boil it down to these main things, Ahmed, that really jumped out to me, one-dimensional, right? You don't even have to worry. There's no point in defending the run game when you play the Chiefs. They won't run it. It doesn't matter. Just play the pass. They just call their bluff. They will not run the ball. So that's not going to play good, okay? They can't pass protect right now because of some of the injuries they have on the offensive line. Cam Irving at left tackle is an issue, okay? They're predictable as well within their pass offense. I see repeat concepts. I can sit here because I watch them on film every week and really kind of give you a feel for, oh, they're in this formation. I can sit here and tell you two or three things they're going to do out of some of these formations in the pass game. And then, of course, the injuries we talk about when you don't have a Tyreek Hill and a Sammy Watkins.
Right.
Everybody out there, I mean, hey, if you want to evaluate a team, the first thing you always do is where's the money on the team and is it performing? And they got big money in Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. I mean, Sammy Watkins is being paid like he's one of the five best receivers in football.
Yeah.
Now, he's not. But he's not out there. And then Tyreek Hill is being paid like that as well. And, of course, he's injured.
It hurts.
Their team is predicated on their offense putting pressure on the opposing team by getting out early, making it a shootout. They play from a position of power. When that doesn't happen, there's some issues.
When they don't have them, and you say they're predictable,
yeah.
Does that make them more predictable? Are they more predictable now than they have been the first few weeks of the season?
I can't say that they are. There's a few specialized plays always for a Tyreek Hill when he's in the game plan, so I guess that gives you the curveball.
Yeah.
But no, this is where I have got into the conversation in some prior podcasts of this where they're a little bit more, it's about the players than the plays type of offense. And the offense is good, but it's not, like I said, I'm not going to put it in the McVay, Shanahan, McDaniel, Sean Payton category because it is a little more about, hey, you need to make a great throw, or Kelce, you got to work the middle of the field and get open, or Tyreek, if they play you man, you got to beat them, and then this guy will make the right throw.
Sure.
Where, you know, hey, you watch the Saints, the Patriots, some of them, I mean, they get a few throws every game, Brady, Breeze, whatever, where, I mean, it just doesn't matter. The first guy they look at, it's open, and it's, oh, bam, he's wide open. Oh, bam, he's wide open again. Bam, he's wide open. And that just doesn't happen within the normal rhythm of their offense.
How much of it was Justin Houston, who played 8 years in Kansas City, first year with the Colts? Revenge game for him. How much of it was him just knowing what the Chiefs were going to do?
I mean, I think on the – if we got into that fourth down call, right, I don't remember at the end when the Chiefs are running that fourth down play, and he makes the tackle from the backside play. You know, that would have been a one where I might have thought about where he's lined up if you're over there on the sidelines figuring out what you're going to do on the fourth down. Because there's two things. One, he knows players on their team. Two, you got to be cognizant that when he's lining up, he can hear what the offensive line's saying to each other, right? Sure. An offensive line, you can have a play call, and there's certain calls the offensive line has to make to block it the proper way. And, you know, you just got to be careful in those situations because he might hear. He's been against these guys his whole career. He knows all these calls.
You don't think they change him up?
I know. They don't, usually don't for these type of things. So, if they had a dual call or a pulling guard call or all these things that the offensive linemen say, if he kind of recognized one of them, that could have gave him the jump. Ultimately, I think Cam Irving also messed up on how he blocked the play on the backside. But Justin Houston was really good. And those guys took turns beating the crap out of Cam Irving on the left side more times than not. He's an issue at left tackle right now for the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, I want to point out Kamoko Touré, who got hurt
at the end of the game. Poor Kamoko.
A lot of people are going to talk about that.
Yeah,
but I think he played really well.
Phenomenal.
He's a second year guy out of Rutgers. He's a New Jersey guy.
I know. I thought he was a first round talent 2 years ago coming out in the draft.
He didn't start playing football until high school.
He's a freak.
He got 3 quarterback hits, playing in 54% of the snaps. It was the most snaps he's played.
Yeah, because he's been battling some injuries early on in the year too. So he's just getting back out there healthy. A shame to see that.
I'm going to give him a damn okay, even though he's done for the
year. Yeah, I know. Good. You should. Damn okay. Kamoko Touré. You the man. I mean, we'll be waiting for you next year. But, yeah, he has shown enough talent in his first 2 years that he's one of those guys where he's going to pop up from at some point down the line again, and we're going to go, damn, this guy's one of the better pass rushers in all of football.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
He's got that kind of talent.
How much do you think the ankle injury limited what Patrick Mahomes could do? Because, I mean, early in the second quarter, I don't know how often, because he's been gimpy last week in Detroit. He's had the injury. It might have been re-aggravated later in the game, but he was making some plays that 3rd and 18 in the second quarter where he threw
phenomenal.
That touchdown to
that was the last play.
Byron Pringle.
They played zone coverage.
That was it.
That was it.
That ended the zone coverage.
That was it, because, you know, they were kind of like splitting it between man and zone early on, but his movement and extending plays in the pocket against zone. I mean, just think about it. Being a zone linebacker. Oh, this is my area. Oh, wait, he's over here now. Mahomes is running there. Oh, Mahomes is running there. And then you leave areas, and, of course, then there's big, you know, gaps in your zone coverage. And then we know Mahomes is awesome at throwing lasers into those gaps and manipulating with his eyes and everything else like that. That was it. After that play, they said, fuck you, zone coverage. Let's go to man, and let's not let him do that to us anymore.
I was looking at an overhead of it, and they had 3 guys on DeMarcus Robinson at the end of that play.
Oh, I don't know. They just went with him. The defenders all went to the sideline, and the receiver there kind of stopped in the middle and kind of just came back. And Mahomes, I mean, come on, the scramble, everything about it. To answer your question, with the ankle and all that, it affected him. I don't think it was like a game changer. I think ultimately the game changer was, the Chiefs' inability to separate, the Chiefs' inability to have more man-to-man beaters. The second week in a row, there's got to be more pick plays for the receivers, the tight ends, the backs out of the backfield. Running game is a great way to stop defenses from playing man-to-man because you can do misdirection stuff. You know, you see those running plays sometimes where, just think about it. If you're the quarterback, the tight end's to your right, and, they hand the ball to the right and the tight end goes behind the line of scrimmage and kicks out the backside end, right, or something like that. Well, if you're playing man-to-man every snap, okay, that guy over there might be responsible for the C or D gap. And now you send the tight end across. He's running over there because he's going, I'm in man-to-man. He might go out in a pass. I got to go. And all of a sudden there's a void in that hole because that guy that was supposed to take that D gap, he fouled Travis Kelce behind. There's a lot of different things you can do. The man-to-man, you cannot let teams continue to play that. I'm just disappointed that Andy Reid and company didn't have more rubs, picks, shallow crossers, things like that to take advantage of it. And the run game, like I said, there's a lot of different ways to stress defenses out who want to play man-to-man like that.
You know what I think we have to do?
Yeah.
We have to put Andy Reid on notice. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. Like, but, put him on notice.
Well,
yeah, they need to step up their game.
Well,
that's a big thing.
I am saying that because I really like Andy Reid and think he's awesome. And
I don't do that lightly. I don't like just put willy-nilly people on notice.
No, well, because he's a legend. He's a legend.
And I love him.
Yes.
And I love what he said before the game to Liam McHugh, too, when Liam was trying to get him to talk just generically about Patrick Mahomes and what strides has he made this year. He goes, I don't know yet.
Yeah,
you know, it's like so often you go,
he's pretty creative.
Understanding the defense is a little better.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of give, you know, us what we want.
Right.
I love Andy Reid. But he's on notice.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think at the ultimately big picture wise, I mean, if Kansas City wants to beat New England, this is where they're going to have to improve. Because, I mean, New England's going to play them man-to-man. There's no way around that. And if they don't have a different way to attack in general, this will be an issue. Now, you know, when Tyreek Hill back and Sammy Watkins, most defenses in football will not be able to play them man-to-man. But New England's not going to give a shit, and they will play the man-to-man like they did in the AFC Championship game and take some chances. And I think if we're just looking at big-picture Super Bowl conversation, it's definitely something the Chiefs got to work on.
We good?
Yeah, that one? I think so. Yeah. I think we hit it all.
That one's good.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else.
This is not the actual.
Yep, it's right here.
Okay, so let's go. Let's go. Colts O, Chiefs D.
Yeah,
and let's start with the Colts offense because they basically just ran it down the Chiefs' throat.
Pretty much.
Marlon Mack was very effective between the tackles, just specifically between the tackles.
Yep.
20 carries, 100 yards.
Yep.
Another 32 yards on outside rushes. Had the second most rushing yards of any running back in football this week behind Christian McCaffrey.
And even just so you know, those outside rushes you're talking about, they were designed to go inside. And he bounced it.
Interesting.
And that's what they did. Their theme of the day would be a play like we would call in the NFL, ride 34 double or ride 35 double. Basically double block, double team the two defensive tackles inside. Why? One, because really the only disruptor or game changer on the Chiefs defense is Chris Jones, who ultimately got hurt and that hurt them. But they were going to keep two people on him to not let him ruin the play and put them in second and 14 because he busted through one-on-one in the run game and then tackles Marlon Mack that way. So that's why you saw Marlon Mack, and I'm going to stand up for a second, one of you two jabronis,
this.
All right?
This is my favorite part of the podcast.
But when you see Marlon Mack, ooh, and I'm going to get a football too so I can pretend I'm a running back. But did you hear Collinsworth last night? He's like, hey, he kind of looks like he's running like Le'Veon Bell right now. Well, because that's what those plays are. They double team the defensive tackles, right? And really, there was double teams along the board as far as the offensive line on the defensive line. And so Marlon Mack can get the ball, and he kind of can do this because he's just waiting for the linebackers to commit.
Sure.
And if they commit one way, okay, I'm going to hit that hole. The ones you talked about him bouncing outside, they kind of hit the gaps in the inside, and he just went, boom, I'm going to try to beat out the outside edge and make some moves like that. Hmm. If Marlon Mack, that's it for that. If Marlon Mack doesn't have a hurt ankle, I would bet you he has even more rushing yards in this football game in general.
So you said
Colts
just I think you said something moving Chiefs up front. They were dominating, mauling them up front.
Where are you at? Where? Let me see.
The top line here.
Oh, yeah. I just said yes. They're just mashing.
Mashing
the Chiefs up front early on.
So let's give some credit to the Colts offensive line, right? Because you got number 56. You got Quentin Nelson, who's out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, stud. Best guard in football. Maybe the best offensive lineman in football.
You think he's in that conversation?
Oh, definitely.
Already, first year.
I think he's a second-year guy, but I thought he was the best guard in football last year. It's okay.
Last year, you're right.
Don't worry. You can't know everything. It's my job.
That's true.
But yes,
the fact check.
He's phenomenal.
Good.
Costanzo, phenomenal. Kelly at center, so phenomenal.
Nelson, I did have a note here. He's played every single offensive snap for the Colts in his career. All 16 last year.
I believe
every
it.
Snap this year so far.
He's like a slab of granite.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever saw him in person, you'd be like, oh my gosh, is he real? He's just like a big block with a huge head on his body. I mean, it's just he's a specimen as far as what an offensive line looks like.
Anthony Costanzo, too.
Yep.
Eighth year guy. You like
studs?
Him.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes. I mean, I like everybody. Braden Smith at right tackle, a second year kid out of Auburn. He's really good. Glowinski is the weak link, and he's still a good guard. I mean, that's how special they are up front.
Right.
They did the right thing in this game. They weren't sure. What do you do to stop a great offense? You make them sit on the sidelines.
Sure.
And get them out of rhythm that way. And then they start to feel the pressure. Oh, gosh, we got to get first downs. We got to move the ball. We might not be out of here. You know, we might not be out here again for a while. And I think all of that was the brilliance there goes to Frank Reich for staying patient with the run game, realizing that he had a clear advantage up front in that capacity as far as his offensive line, and playing to that. They kind of didn't do that in the playoffs last year. I think they were kind of like, oh, we got Andrew Luck, and we might be able to get in a shootout with you. We're not scared. Yeah. This time around, they said, no, let's not risk that. Let's just play to our strength and win this football game. And I thought that was the proper approach.
And I'm a huge fan of game theory. I love game theory.
Yeah.
And when you punt, when you go for it.
Yeah.
I think Frank Reich and the Colts really have it figured out, and they do it just about as well as anyone else in the NFL.
Agree.
So you saw early in the fourth quarter, they had a couple of those fourth down and ones. And on the broadcast, we were talking about it, and Chris Collinsworth said, we showed the graphic of expected win probability if you go for it. So they had it, and it was fourth and one, and if the current chance of winning was 51%. And it was like if they went for it and got it, they'd have a 64% chance of winning. If they instead just kicked a field goal where they were,
went down to 47, right?
It went down because you give the ball back to the Colts with more time.
Yeah, and they're down. They're only down by less than a touchdown. So,
yeah.
Yes, right. So
they went for fourth and one twice early in the fourth quarter, ate up about 7 minutes, still ended up with a field goal.
Yes.
But the game theory-wise, they're like, we're not going to give the ball back to the Chiefs. We can run it. Let's just keep running.
Exactly right. Let's play to our strengths. The best thing on our football team is our O-line. So why not, if you're going to go down with your best aspect. And that's what they did. They said, okay, we feel best about our whole football team, about our O-line. And in these situations, they did that. That was phenomenal. And, you know, you talk about the ball control. Hey, forget the first half. The second half was embarrassing. I mean, it was like 22 minutes and 41 seconds to 7 minutes and 19 seconds of possession. Yeah. In the second half.
Wow.
So, you know, it's hard. I don't give a damn if you're Patrick Mahomes, Johnny Unitas, whoever you are. When you're on the sideline that much, you are going to be out of rhythm as far as an offense in general. And that's really the beauty of what they did. And he stayed so patient with the run game. There was even a few times where they got in some second long situations. He got in shotgun, and they ran the ball. And it's third and two. And they were in manageable situations to convert some of those third downs. I thought that was brilliant, even on some of their shotgun passes. Because, hey, Chris Jones and Frank Clark can be a pain in the ass in the pass game. They did shotgun play action just to slow them down a little bit.
Yeah.
But really, I thought it was a brilliant game plan altogether. Brissett, other than the interception, really played just a solid, clean game. Didn't really make any mistakes other than that interception the whole game. And this is what the Colts, I think, can be going forward, especially as T.Y. Hilton continues to get healthier and healthier. It's a dangerous combination with that run game, play-action pass, and Brissett can throw the ball down the field. This is a big win for them.
Not really a recipe for other teams watching on how to beat the Chiefs, because not everyone has the offensive line or the
running
the Colts have.
Right,
so.
Right.
And real quick, Chiefs defense, you made a note here. Who can make a play on this defense?
One of my issues with the game, I mean, they were not going to let Chris Jones ruin the game, like I said. And that you could tell that was especially early on, they either double-teamed him or ran away from him. But because he's the only guy. He's the only guy that can disrupt right now, make plays. I have issues with their defensive front seven. They have a lot of guys that just can't get off blocks. I mean, it's just you're looking at plays, you're going, damn, that guard's still on the defensive tackle. They're 7 yards down the field, and he's still not off the guy. He can't get off him. You know, and I don't want to, like Frank Clark, people I think are saying, oh, what a bust. We got him for the trade and we gave him all this money. No, he's really good. He pops on film, But when you're running the ball up the middle all game long and having to do that, defense ends aren't going to always be known or get a chance to make a lot of plays that way. He was around the quarterback a bunch too, just couldn't quite get home. Brissett is sneaky mobile in the pocket. He's so big and fearless. He really does a great job of sliding and even can run for a first down when he needs to.
Colts 3-2. They might have been 3-2 with Andrew Luck, a healthy Andrew Luck, too.
I think that's fair to say. There's no doubt about it. We hit it all there.
Crumpled it already.
No, you're sorry. Good. I think we hit it all. I don't think there was anything else to talk about. I will say this. This is one good thing for the Chiefs coming back. No, you don't need to read it. Is Morris Claiborne, I do think, is going to help them when he gets in the lineup, too. Just another legit cover guy on the back end that'll allow them to be a little bit more creative in general on defense.
Okay. All right. That is the deep dive.
Deep dive.
Chiefs versus Colts.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do a couple other games because I'd like to touch on all the games.
Let's
if
do
we
it.
Could.
You let's
know,
touch
them. We like to go deep, which I think is very valuable.
Yeah.
I love that. But what about?
Let's go shallow on these.
Let's go shallow on these. We got Texans. We got with a huge win over the Falcons. Final score was like 53 to 32.
Yeah.
Your headline, you have a song for your headline for this one, right?
Deshaun Watson is so fucking awesome.
Five touchdowns, yeah. Five incomplete passes. We have a new, what are these called?
I don't know. Bobblehead?
I just broke
figurine? I don't know what it is.
Bobblefoot.
Yep.
Bobblefoot.
But he's special. He really is. I mean, my headline would be, thank God they threw it to somebody else other than DeAndre Hopkins. That's my headline.
Well, no, not when you have DeAndre Hopkins on your fantasy team like I did.
Well,
whatever.
Yeah, but it wasn't the worst day for him. I mean, 7 for 88 is a bad day for DeAndre Hopkins. He's that awesome.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing is, and I've been complaining about this, they got to find someone else to get the ball to and make the defense think about. And that was the positive thing about what Will Fuller did. He's got the capability to be, like, special and scary. He just keeps getting hurt every time he kind of gets to that point of his career. But yesterday you saw his speed, his ability to stretch the defense. Watson is really special. Mm-hmm. I mean, Watson goes into that, you know, I said this earlier today with Mike, like, Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes, I just think they stand above the rest in football right now. You can kind of put them in any situation – and they can make it happen through great ability.
Sure.
Oh, our O-line sucks? Okay, no problem. I'll make it happen. Oh, we can't run the ball? No problem. I'll make it happen. Oh, you know, our defense isn't good today. We need to get in a shootout? Okay, no problem. I can make it happen. He's special that way, and it was an awesome day by him.
He was good.
Yeah.
Five touchdowns, five incomplete passes. On deep passes, 4 or 5 for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns, so they're throwing the ball down the field.
Right.
With Deshaun. Just 9% of his passes into tight windows, one of the lowest percentages. So that speaks to the wide receivers getting open.
Getting open.
Getting separation.
Definitely a shitty defense with Atlanta. I mean, it's shit, okay? Atlanta sucks. There's no other way to say it on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, if their offense doesn't keep pace, they're not going to stop anybody. They're not going to win any games. It's just too predictable. They're not that talented in the secondary. And Billy O'Brien, this is something I've been calling for, too. Just a little more creativity in the pass game. And yesterday looked like he was a little more creative and aggressive that way. And I think that'll pay off for the Texans going forward.
Falcons 1-4 to start the year for the second year in a row. But Arthur Blank saying that Dan Quinn, at least right now, safe.
Right now,
safe.
Yeah, I think that's got the writing on the wall, though. I don't think, you know, it might not happen during the season, but I think it's all trending towards a new regime being the coaching staff there in Atlanta, at least, you know, at some point in the offseason.
All right, Teddy Bridgewater, Kyle Allen will get both these games. They're both 3-0 right now. How did that happen?
Oh, my headline means you mean you don't need a franchise quarterback to win a football game?
Well,
oh my gosh.
Let's not go overboard.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Colts because Jacoby Brissett too. He's a franchise. Oh yeah, how do you like them apples? How do you like that? Well, no. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I love it because it's a team sport, and you've heard me rant a lot about it. It's just like we're in this quarterback world. Quarterback, 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 quarterback. Right. He's the only guy on the fucking field, and I'm so sick of hearing about it. You know, the Saints are a really complete, good football team. They can win in a lot of different ways. So, yeah, you know, they've won through their defense, their run game. Yesterday, pass game opportunities presented themselves. Teddy Bridgewater strikes, right? So he was really good. Kyle Allen, I mean, didn't reinvent the wheel yesterday, but again, another good job of managing the game, had no turnovers, right? I don't think so. Unless, I'm good. Okay, I thought maybe he had a fumble. He fumbled, but he didn't lose it. So he did that. He realizes he's got a good defense, and he's got Mighty Mouse at running back.
Yep.
And he doesn't need to take a lot of chances that way. So I just like the fact that it's showing the public and everybody out there, it's not all about the quarterback, okay?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong.
It's about the running back.
Well, don't get me wrong. These teams are better with Drew Brees and with Cam Newton.
Sure.
Definitely. But you know, not to the point where they can't still win games without them. And I'm excited to see Carolina when they get a really healthy Cam Newton. You know, I really think Carolina can be dangerous. I think it's one of the best defenses in football. I think their O-line, as you see, is really powerful and can move people out of the way. And they got some weapons on the outside to where I look at them as being like a legit contender if they can get maybe just another level up at quarterback play. And the Saints are a contender, whether it's Drew Brees or Teddy Bridgewater. I don't really care. They're a contender. They will find a way. Bridgewater's good enough. That's why when you're a Super Bowl team, you invest in backup quarterbacks because you don't let one position just ruin your season if they get hurt. And that was a brilliant move by Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis and everybody else down there to do that. Just great job by both of them. And I think it proves to me that Kurt Warner was wrong and Drew Brees is not the number two quarterback in football.
It's now.
Thank
even,
you,
even he would admit that.
You know, I don't know if he would, but
Christian McCaffrey, he's getting a lot of MVP buzz
right now.
With what he's doing, 176 yards rushing, couple touchdowns, 61 more receiving. He was the fastest ball carrier in the NFL in week 5. Number two in the NFL was one of his teammates.
The other running back?
No.
Oh, who?
Curtis Samuel.
Oh, well, they can fly. Like those.
So they got two huge playmakers.
Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore could run with anybody in football. Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
Okay, anything else there?
This is what we got to talk about. One thing with the Panthers. This is why the Panthers, too, have gone to another level. And I don't know where the Panthers' defense is ranked, but I know last week it was towards the top of football. Yesterday they they let up some yards. So they're eighth in football in total yards right now. But this is what I think is exciting about Carolina.
Uh-huh.
When they got Bruce Irvin, Brian Burns, Mario Addison, this is the best pass rush this Panthers defense has had in a long time. And they're second in football in sacks right now. And they don't blitz a lot. So this isn't like manufactured. Yeah. This is like the front four getting there. And I think that's another aspect why I look at the Carolina Panthers and go, watch out. Because if they get Cam back, and Cam will be motivated now because he's, just like Drew Brees, who's doing like thumb exercises all times of the day now. He's like, oh my gosh, they're 3-0. They might not need me to win games. He's obsessive. Cam Newton's like probably doing the same thing with his foot. He's like, holy cow, we got to get back. This is making me not look good.
Yeah.
So I would expect comes back, he is on his,
You could make the argument that they might be better if he hadn't tried to play through the injury the first couple weeks of the season. They're 3-2 right now. And
I agree. That's all I want to say.
And I did want to, because you mentioned them real quick. You mentioned the defense, and I looked at that one play, that fumble recovery, 56-yard return by
Brian Burns.
To make it 21-7. So the Jacksonville, the two tackles, it was weird. If you can watch the play. The two tackles both went down immediately and tried to chop block on Irvin and on Burns.
Yeah.
And they missed. They just jumped over.
They're athletic freaks.
And then Mario Addison destroyed Andrew Norwell.
Right.
And forced the fumble. It was an impressive play.
Yeah.
To go back and look at.
They're impressive. They're impressive athletes. They really. Their front seven has got a lot of impressive guys. And hey, just while we're on that game too, Gardner Minshew made a lot of great plays and throws. Again, I think he is showing that he is certainly worthy. Yeah, he had the three fumbles. That was tough, certainly. I mean, Leonard Fournette again had a good game. Like, the Jaguars aren't out of this thing yet either. At 2-3, they're very much in the thick of things. I would hope Jalen Ramsey can get back to make them that much more dangerous on the defensive side of the ball. But there's a lot of stuff I see from Gardner Minshew that I'm very impressed by.
And real quick,
even
though we can't be quick, we got too much stuff on these games.
Right.
Ravens Steelers. Ravens win in overtime, 26-23. They can win. Even with Lamar having a three-interception day.
They're right. Find a way to win. Overcome obstacles. And that's what they did. And Lamar, it's going to say three interceptions, but I can legitimately sit here and go, really only one was his fault.
Hmm.
Okay? One was over the middle, and it was defensive pass interference, and they didn't call it, and got an interception that way. I can't remember who got it that time. He threw a ball down the left seam, and Devin Bush, the first rounder, he came up with a pass, and I believe that ball was even bobbled by the receiver too and then fell into his hands. And it was real questionable whether he caught the ball or not anyways. So he was a little unfortunate with his mistakes that way. But still a big part of why they win the game because, yeah, okay, the passing wasn't great, but he was still the leading rusher on their football team, right? So that was special. And Marlon Humphrey, we got to give him some credit.
Yeah.
I mean, the punch out at the end, it's 2 weeks in a row. You know, he's shown his worth to that football team. He is becoming one of the better corners in football altogether. But that was a huge play by him. And you know, Devlin Hodges, you know, he showed – I was at training camp, and there were some people that were going, watch out for this Hodges kid. He can really play. He makes plays there at camp every day.
Yeah.
And I was there the day I was there, he made a number. And, like, some of the people that were saying that kept looking at me and like, see, told you.
Yeah.
Told you. And he looked very comfortable out there in that game. The Steelers are a pain in the pain in the ass. I don't know if they're going to win a whole lot of football games.
1-4, but they've been in a lot of
games. They're in a lot of games.
For that first week against.
You know, this is where, yeah, I mean, hey, Juju can't fumble, and they're going to need a quarterback to get him over the hump in some of these close football games, and maybe Hodges can be that guy while Rudolph's on the sideline here for a little while after that brutal, brutal hit.
All right, good.
Yeah.
We got more podcasts.
Oh, baby. We got a podcast. We got another podcast that will have the explicit red E next to it,
oh,
just
really?
Like mine. Oh, yes. Our Line Starts, the NHL podcast,
oh,
okay?
Who's on that?
Oh, a bunch of knuckleheads are on that, okay?
Yeah.
It's a new NBC podcast, okay? It's all the NHL analysts that work for NBC, WNBC. Yeah. But it's Keith Jones, crazy man, Jeremy Roenick, really crazy man,
swear.
Mike Milbury,
he'll swear,
crazy man,
yeah.
Right? Patrick Sharp, I don't know him real well, but if he's hanging with them,
he'll
be forced to swear. Okay. And then Pierre Maguire. I mean, maybe not.
I don't know either.
Okay. I don't know them as well. But hockey is back in full swing. I mean, it's unbelievable, these hockey guys, what they do. And this week, Wednesday Night Hockey returns New Jersey Devils with their Hughes, right? He was the first pick of the draft, Jack Hughes. I'm a Devils fan in hockey, so that's who I root for. I kind of liked what I saw in the first game. I mean, guy can fly. I mean, he looks like he weighs 110 pounds, but he can fly on the ice, okay?
We should do a deep dive.
Scout him out. But Devils, Flyers on Wednesday Night Hockey, Kings, Vancouver Canucks. Coverage starts at 6:30 Eastern time on NBC. And a lot of times you'll see there my buddies there, Paul Burmeister, Catherine Tappan. They kind of lead the charge there. Yep. Liam. He's not really my buddy, Liam. Screw him. But the rest of these guys are cool.
We're just a more connected team this year. We're enjoying each other more. We like each other, I think, a little more. We hang out with each other. It's the locker room is a raucous environment. Whether it's a Monday or whether it's right after a big win. I just think guys really, really play for each other more, and we have that chemistry that, because of the leadership that we have, that maybe we've been lacking the last couple years.
They all get along now.
They're
happy.
Well, it does seem like there's good camaraderie.
I mean, thought they weren't happy though. I thought Matt LaFleur.
What a disaster!
The whole year.
What a disaster!
So we're going deep dive.
Deep
Packers
dive.
Packers versus Cowboys. Another shocking result.
Shocking. Like, not that I'm shocked that they won the game, but the fact that they were up 31-3.
Right.
I mean, come on.
They did it.
Yeah, I would have never.
Cowboys came back,
that.
But let's start with the Packers though. Versus Cowboys D. Of course, it seems like you always start the story with Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, really, the story offensive playmaker in this one was Aaron Jones.
Yep.
107 yards rushing, 75 yards receiving. He was their leading receiver in the game, but it seemed like early on the Packers could do whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I think there's a few things to jump out to me. Of course, the offense is better at running the football. There's more patience that way. Hey, Aaron Jones having, 9 carries for 66 yards in the first half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not blowing them away at that point as far as the run game is concerned. But still, I mean, this is a Green Bay team where, you look back here in recent history, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is like towards the top of the list, is like leading his team in rushing in a lot of years. And if he doesn't pull his calf muscle, he's probably going to lead the team in rushing like two of those years too.
Right.
So just great that they have that aspect of their game. you know, they don't have weapons on the outside that you're going to scare you all the time. Two things. The run game early on, and I really think this is going to be an issue for Dallas as we go forward, because this is one thing I'm noticing with the Dallas defense. It happened to the Colts last week when they played the Raiders, and this all goes back to the Cowboys divisional playoff game against the Los Angeles Rams. Okay. The Rams made a concerted effort to motion the tight end across so they could run the ball to the side of the shade nose guard. The nose guard who's just off the edge of the center, in between the guard and the center there. Teams want to run the ball there, and teams are running inside zone on Dallas because of that. And Green Bay, because Matt LaFleur used to work for Sean McVay, I'm sure he looked at that game plan and realized it, and that was one of the things that jumped out to me right away. Wow. They ran to the bubble for a lot of their success in the run game, and the Cowboys got to find a way to adjust to it because it's an issue, and it's going to continue to rear its ugly head until they prove it's fixed. Because other teams that are smart on offense are going to abuse that.
Well, you didn't like their pass rush either. You say, do the Cowboys even talk about pass rush lane integrity?
Well, I mean, how many times do they need Aaron Rodgers to, you know, shove it up their ass up in Dallas to realize, you know, the guy kind of seems to scramble outside the pocket and make plays sure. on us. You know, Dallas's pass rush is so talented, but there is no gap integrity in the pass rush. And that is crucial to beating Aaron Rodgers. It is. I mean, whether you look at last year in New England, of course, they did it, right? The Bears do a pretty good job of it against Aaron Rodgers. If you start just going, oh, we're just going to pin our ears back and go get him, I mean, come on. This is one of the greatest athletes to ever play the quarterback position. He's got phenomenal feet. He can make somebody miss, and then he extends a play and bounces out of the pocket. And I really thought early on, you know, there was a few times that the Cowboys kind of had the Green Bay Packers on the ropes. Like, Rodgers' stats aren't going to look good. Like, it doesn't look like, oh, my gosh, he had a great day, 22 of 34 for 238 yards. But on some big plays, he did some great job of getting out of the pocket and then doing the typical Aaron Rodgers thing where he finds somebody 15 or 20 yards down the field for a huge gain. Right. And that is really what gave them a momentum early on to move the ball along with that run game.
Right. But you do know, you know, it kind of just sounds like the Packers dominated. You do know that you thought the Cowboys were clearly physically better.
The Cowboys are the better team. I'm not coming away. Like, I'm not – the Cowboys, some of these wounds were self-inflicted, and we're going to get into, you know, that side of the ball.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are – they're special. I mean, they're just – it's hard to go through their roster and not look at it and go – oh, offensive line special. Oh, defensive line special. Yeah. Oh, linebacker special. Sure. Oh, wide receiver special. Oh, corner special.
And that's not great for the coaching staff then.
No, no. And we'll get into the offense in a second because right. there's a lot to be still excited about there. Defensively, there's still a lot to be excited too. But what worries me about Dallas is when they play really good quarterbacks or a creative game planner like a Sean Payton, you know, they're just a little too predictable on the defensive side of the ball. It's too much like, hey, we got some Jimmies and Joes, and they're going to make it happen. This is what we do, and we're going to go out there. I'm just saying, if they want to win the Super Bowl, and more than likely they're going to be playing Brady in New England, if they just line up in the same defenses and don't show disguises, yeah. they're not going to win the Super Bowl. They got to do something against those teams. Now, they're going to get away with it against a lot of teams because they're the more talented football team, but there's just no game plan specific defense to what they do. And that's what worries me. You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
But you look at tendencies and you go, ooh, this week on third down, maybe we'll take away this guy or this route that they like to go to. I never see that from the Dallas defense, and that annoys me.
And they got a little time to figure it out. Of course, they had that easy schedule to start, but that schedule, you take a look at it, second half of the year, into the playoffs, very difficult.
It's very, very difficult. But, yeah, that pass rush won the whole game. I mean, it was not great pass protection.
Sure.
But, you know, it goes unnoticed because Rodgers does a great job avoiding people, throwing the ball away to where what did the Cowboys have? I don't even know. Two sacks, and I'm just going to tell you, I mean, I'm not trying to kiss Aaron Rodgers' ass, which I know I do a lot,
yeah.
but he avoided six other sacks that if it's other quarterbacks in football, they're going down and you're going to be way behind the chains.
Can I give props to one offensive lineman for the Packers?
Please do.
If you agree.
Yeah.
Number 74, the guard, Elgton Jenkins.
Jenkins, the Mississippi State kid.
Yep.
Yeah. He's a player, man.
Didn't play much the first couple weeks, but has played every
injury,
snap
right?
the last three games in look pretty good.
He's good. I mean, he's legit good. I liked him coming out in the draft, and I think he'll be a starting guard or center, whatever they want to use him as, for a long, long time. At Mississippi State, he played center a lot. but certainly capable of being a really awesome guard. And you're right, done a really good job. Other thing to remember about the Cowboys, too, Tyrone Crawford, that was his first game back. There's no Antoine Woods, one of their better defensive tackles. So when he's back, that's going to be scary as well. But I think all in all, hey, I like this about the Packers' offense. They're patient with the run game. They're more aggressive downfield with their concepts than years past. They still have the carryover, the short passing game from Rodgers and McCarthy. And they got a good little screen game to go off that. LaFleur coming from McVay. McVay's amazing at the screen game. Yeah. So they make you defend the whole field. Now, there's not great talent on that Packers offense. But if they can have scheme, creative calls, and good game plans, and you got number 12, a quarterback, they're going to have a fighting chance.
We good? Packers, though?
Yeah, I think Cowboys we hit it all. I think we hit it all. Yep.
All right. Over to the Cowboys O versus the Packers D. It took a little while for the Cowboys offense to get rolling.
Yeah.
But did. Amari Cooper had the most yards receiving of any receiver in the NFL this week. But it took them a little bit.
Yeah.
What were your main takeaways of Cowboys O, Packers
Well, D? It didn't really take them a while. They just kept messing shit up. That's what I would say. I mean, you're right. I'm not trying to, sure. put you down there.
I get that, though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Amari Cooper's wide open on a post route.
Sure.
The ball's put a little behind them, but you'd like your $14 million a year receiver to hit that. You'd also like Dak Prescott to put it on the money. I get that. Either way, it wasn't a perfect throw, but Amari Cooper's got to catch that. Ball pops in the air, interception. First drive. I mean, they're going down the field. It looks like, oh, gosh, here we go. Cowboys are on a roll. You know, hey, I think second drive they go three and out. Okay? So now all of a sudden they look up and they go, holy shit, we're down 14-0. They get the ball the third drive. They're moving again. And Prescott throws a stupid interception. He doesn't realize it's zone coverage, and he throws a deep crosser, doesn't see the backside nickel corner, and he comes underneath and gets it. And now you got a Packers team that's kind of, you know, rolling on offense, and all of a sudden you go, damn, you know, we turned the ball over two out of the first three or four series,
yeah.
And we're down 21-0, just like that. And that changed the whole dynamic of the football game. I think what bothers me just a little, I think the Cowboys are a little too like, hey, we're coming out to put on a show. And that's been my issue ever since, like, the Miami game, where I want to just go, that's cool. Your offense is better than ever before.
Yeah.
Prescott's awesome. Kellen Moore's been awesome. But let's still play to win the game. And still, you have a really effective run team against a Packers defense that's struggled stopping the run.
Sure.
I mean, they got gashed last week against the Eagles. They got gashed against the Vikings. They got let up a lot of big runs against the Denver Broncos, who aren't a great running football team. I just don't know why Dallas didn't come out a little more run-oriented that way and just test the Packers front to see, let's see if they fix some of these run issues.
They got game scripted out quickly after that when they fell down.
Yes, exactly right.
3.
Right.
They didn't have Tyron Smith.
Yes, right? That was an issue.
They lost Lyle Collins to an MCL, so maybe that had something to do with it.
Definitely.
That time they were down big.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened, right? I mean, the Smiths on the edge are really good. They definitely hurt Tyron Smith. They made some really timely third down where they won on the edge, Za'Darius and Preston. That was really a big thing, too. They got two stops. One of them, we talked about I think it was the second series where they had to punt the ball. You know, they were in field goal range, and he took a big third down sack that knocked them out of field goal range, and they had to punt the ball, and then Rodgers and company went on like an 89-yard drive, if memory serves me correct. Yes, 9 plays, 89-yard drive. But the pass protection was not as bad as I thought watching on TV. It got a little worse when the game was 31-0, and then like Green Bay is like, oh, you want to run the ball? Go ahead. We don't really care at this case. Please run the ball. But there are issues there. But it wasn't as bad as I thought watching on TV. It's funny. I thought Green Bay's pass pro was better watching on TV, and Dallas had the issue watching on TV. And then I turned on the film, and I went, ooh, Green Bay didn't pass protect very well at all. Rodgers just like made some amazing moves in the pocket. And I went back and, you know, you talked about the Smith sacks and all that.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, no, Dallas actually protected pretty well throughout the game. They just got into a game that, you know, was unfortunate that they got that far behind.
Right.
Yeah. Anything else about my notes that gets you?
I thought Dak was a little too aggressive. And
yep.
I mean, we're in this situation where it's a weird, you know, you got to make the decision if you're the Dallas Cowboys, if Dak Prescott's your franchise quarterback. We've talked about it. It seems like they were minutes away. Isn't that what Jerry Jones said a while ago? Yeah, we're days away from making something long-term happen with Dak Prescott.
I don't think it changes. I still
nothing,
really
what
like.
What you saw, you know, even though he had some opportunities early, you still like everything you saw.
I really do for the most part. You know, he threw
463 yards.
He threw three interceptions. We just talked about one that wasn't his fault that Amari Cooper could have caught.
Yeah.
The second one was his fault. He messed up. He's allowed to do that. He should have known really from the pre-snap read, oh, this is zone coverage. This play's meant for man-to-man. I shouldn't be able to throw this deep cross. He did it. He messed up there. The third interception, I thought was pass interference on Kevin King. I mean, he basically grabbed, I think it was Michael Gallup's head as he was trying to come out of the break, and Prescott was getting ready to throw it, and then, of course, Gallup wasn't where he was supposed to be because his head had just got ripped off.
Yes.
And then it became an interception. So getting your head ripped off is a problem.
It's
right.
A problem. It makes it harder.
I do worry about the Packers' interior run defense. Their interior D linemen, other than Kenny Clark, I'm not all that impressed with those guys. Let me just see if there's anything else that just hits me. I still really like the Cowboys' offense. I really do. My only complaint about the Cowboys' offense, got to find a few more ways to find short completions. Not every throw has to be 15 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards.
Sure.
Go route. You know,
every they did now, well on the deep stuff.
They I mean, do. I know.
Six for eight, 189 yards and a touchdown.
He's on money. Stuff, but some of those third downs where, like, the Smiths got the sacks, you know, it's third and four. It's third and five. And they're looking to, like, get 20. And I just want to go, damn, can we just call like a Sean Payton or Josh McDaniels type play and get six and just move the chains?
Sure.
Don't always have to be patting the ball when a team knows you're going to be throwing the ball like that. But I think all in all, that's it. Let's see.
You mentioned Za'Darius Smith. He had a game-high four quarterback hits, two sacks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a beast.
He's coming on. He's emerging. He spent his first 4 years with the Ravens.
Right.
Most games he started in a year was eight last year. He started all five this year for Green Bay, and he could be a key piece for them.
Yeah, right? Definitely. I mean, he's been the Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith have changed that defense, not only because of their pass rushing ability, they're phenomenal in the run game too. I mean, they can take on tackles and tight ends and dominate that way. So great free agent signings by Gutekunst up there, the GM for the Green Bay Packers.
That's it.
I think so. We hit it.
Okay. Get rid of that one. Get rid of that one.
I like it.
Okay. Oh, it's time for my favorite song. It's the number one song trending right now on Spotify.
I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, yes.
I'm okay.
The legal gambolizing.
Oh, baby. I am Chris Sims. I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay. I am Chris Sims.
Well, that's my favorite part of the song, is when you're so proud. You're like, I am Chris Sims.
I am Chris Sims. Damn, okay, I am him. I forgot. I wasn't sure.
So damn okay is guys that made you say damn okay.
Yeah, say damn okay, okay? I mean.
I swore.
Whoa, but that doesn't count. Damn doesn't count. Damn does not count. Okay. That's like Sunday service swear. That doesn't matter, okay?
Yeah, my five-year-old's already saying it. It's not that big.
Right. All right, you want to lead it off?
No, you lead it off.
You want me to lead it off?
You want this first guy? Is he a damn okay?
I think so. I mean, I got to give Kirk Cousins.
Oh, damn.
I got him.
Okay,
Kirk. We hated on you all week. Your damn team hated on you. The receivers hated on you. Well, there's nothing like curing that remedy than facing Jonathan McDonald's New York Giants defense.
First loss in the Daniel Jones era for them.
Yep. Tough game for Daniel Jones. I mean, hey, the Vikings defense is really good. They got no Saquon Barkley, and then Wayne Gallman, their running back, gets hurt. You become one-dimensional against Minnesota. See you later. You're not going to win that. But Kirk Cousins, I mean, sharp. And more than anything, I think the game plan was pretty good by the Minnesota offense. I mean, gosh, if you're out there, go back, look at the highlights of how Minnesota got a lot of their passes. It was bootlegs and play action. But it was more bootlegs than anything. Over-aggressive front seven by the New York Giants, and then Kirk Cousins coming out the backside because, of course, the Giants are worried about stopping Dalvin Cook, and a lot of crossers off the bootlegs that he hit, and then some great throws to Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
Thielen had a big day, too.
Squeaky wheel. Seven
squeaky
catches,
wheel gets
130
oiled.
Yards, two touchdowns. As a Stephon Diggs fantasy owner, I don't like that.
You don't like that?
Why is Thielen always open? It's like every time they throw the ball, he's open.
He's really talented. I mean, they're both really talented.
Yeah.
Thielen is more of the, oh, we have one-on-one outside. And, Thielen's a great route runner. He's bigger guy than you would expect. He's like 6'3"-ish, right around that, you know. And then he can run. Especially for a white receiver, he can really run, okay? And Diggs is still really phenomenal,
Diggs
too.
Diggs is good.
But Diggs has a little bit of a different skill set, another great route runner. But he can, like, do some of the intermediate short stuff that their offense is kind of missing right now, and I think they need to expand on.
And Dalvin Cook, 132 yards.
What?
Who would you take right now if you were starting a team, Dalvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey?
I knew you were going to ask that. I knew. Man, There's no wrong answer. I would take Dalvin Cook.
You would take Dalvin
Cook. I don't know if I feel good about that. I feel kind of mean almost to say
you can't
it.
Feel bad about either one.
No, I can't because they're both awesome. They have definitely injected themselves into the best running back in football conversation.
Maybe McCaffrey a little more durable, although I don't
know.
Dalvin
got hurt in college and his first year in the NFL just cutting off his leg. But, we're seeing what a healthy Dalvin can do right now. But, yeah, you're right. McCaffrey a little more durable.
I got two damn okays from the Broncos-Chargers game.
Okay.
And one was a damn okay from last week. My guy, Desmond King. He had a 68-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Yep.
And he grew up in Detroit. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yesterday when I made him a damn okay. So damn okay for Desmond King.
Yep.
Even though the Broncos got this win, and so I'll give my other damn okay to Courtland Sutton, who I think is actually emerging as one of the top, a better receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's top notch. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say he's a top receiver in football yet, but he's
top
really 10? Good. Man,
top 20?
There's a lot of damn good receivers. Top 20, maybe.
But that, I mean, that 70-yard touchdown was an individual effort, breaking tackles, getting open.
No doubt.
Busted coverage a little bit, I think.
And
but
he's a big dude, too. I mean, to be making plays like that at that size, that is special. So, no, I got no issue with it there. I think Cameron Sutton will be the go-to guy for that offense as they continue. And that was a big win. I mean, we got to give Vic Fangio a damn okay, too.
Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
First win for him.
First win. Defense was phenomenal, okay? I mean, the Chargers, 246 yards of total offense. You just talked about one of the Chargers, 7 of their 13 points was on a punt return by Desmond King. So, yeah, Phillip Rivers and company got shut the fuck down. I mean, that's all there is to say about that. And good for Vic Fangio, gets them off the schneid.
It's going to be interesting how it works out between Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. Because Eckler, he caught 15 passes in the game.
Holy crap, I didn't even realize he caught that many passes.
15 passes for 86 yards.
But, I mean, that's just – I mean, I just feel like this is like – other than last year, that was like every Chargers game I've seen for the last 10 years.
I think, yeah.
Like, oh, so close. They found a way to mess it up. Oh, so close. Oh, they fumbled on the 1 yard line right before the half and came away with no points. I mean, it's unreal. Injuries and like situational disasters. I feel like the Chargers have to be leading football in the last decade.
Damn. Okay. Eagles have never lost to the Jets. Still 11-0 all time.
My green is better than your green. How dare you wear that green?
Damn. Okay. Cliff. Kingsbury.
We gotta give
his first win.
What?
Yeah. Cardinals beat the Bengals.
Yes. And like, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray deserve the damn okay award because, hey, first off, great for Cliff Kingsbury. He does not have a great team to coach right now. To get a win is good enough on the road against the Bengals, who are not good. But either way, it's a win, and you'll take it. And Kyler Murray, again, you know, this is a guy that's like, I don't see, like, the offense doing him a lot of favors. They don't have a run game. Oh, yeah, he was the leading rusher, 10 carries for 93 yards.
Yeah.
You know, I don't look at their pass offense and go, whoa, this is the NFL's never seen anything like this. Look at all these wide-open receivers. A lot of the big throws and plays that come in that passing offense are because of Kyler Murray's talent. And one thing that kind of jumped out to me about the game, I've been complaining about this with Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, they like to escape back and right. Back and right. Kyler Murray stepped up in the pocket yesterday, attacked the line of scrimmage, and really that's ultimately what gave him that big run at the end of the game to set them up to win the game.
Sure.
It was a 24-yard scramble. That was cool to see.
Good for them. Cardinals 1-3-1 on the year. And
yeah,
my final damn okay.
Okay.
It's the game, the one game we haven't talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bills 1. They're 4-1 now over the Titans.
Yeah, okay.
Jordan Phillips. There were
five
sacks on Mariota.
Yep.
Three of them came from the former Miami Dolphin.
I did not realize that he got three of them yesterday.
He got three of them.
That was a great pickup last year by Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean up there in Buffalo. Phillips wasn't happy down in Miami, so they released him.
Oh, he was another one that was.
I don't know why they released him. That was a mistake. But he has gone up there, and he can push the pocket, and he can be a mosh pit guy in the run game where you just can't move him out of there. That Buffalo defense, Ahmed, I mean,
legit.
It's other than New England, it's the second best defense in football. I mean, you could, if somebody went, no, I think they're better than New England's defense, I'd go, okay, I get it. I mean, it's that close. It's special. Do you think, are the Bills the third best team in the AFC?
I think clearly.
Clearly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
wait,
it's not pretty and sexy.
Bill, in the AFC?
Yeah.
Oh. So you'd go Patriots, Chiefs,
Bills. I'll stick with the Chiefs and then the Bills. Yeah, tell me who you're going to put in front of them. I mean, they took the Patriots down to the wire.
Right.
You know, they beat the Bengals. They beat the Tennessee Titans. I know they beat the Jets. Okay, so it's not necessarily sexy that way.
Hold on, let me pull up the teams.
Oh, pull
up. As you always do. Yeah, I like to pull up the teams.
Yeah, funny sure guy good. Over here. Oh, and then they beat. Yeah, yes.
Okay. You know,
so they got the Giants, the Bengals, the Jets, and the Titans they've beat. That's not exactly the best teams in football, mm-hmm. but they are 4-1, and they only lost by 6 points to the New England Patriots, who we are saying is the best team in football. You know, Buffalo, I think if they played a team like full of you and me, they'd find a way to make the game close, okay? That's just the way they play.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen still has a few Tropic Thunder moments in every game. And yesterday he had that too. He threw a stupid interception where they were really controlling the football game, and it gave Tennessee momentum. They scored a touchdown off of that,
yeah.
but he made some big touchdown throws and ultimately came through in the clutch. My man Josh has got to reel it in just a little bit.
I might go. You don't think the Texans are better than the Bills?
I'm not going to put them in front of the Bills yet. No, I'm not.
Ravens, you don't think?
No, yeah. I can't do it, Captain.
Oh, I got the Raiders. They're clearly better.
Clearly.
Win against the Colts.
That's what's crazy right now. Just as a fan of football, the AFC is so much less than the NFC. It's not even close.
Yeah.
You know, because you can look at, okay, New England and Kansas City, 1-2. Bills, 3, okay? I mean, the 10th best team in the NFC is the Philadelphia Eagles right now at 3-2.
That's
I mean,
crazy.
I mean, you just go through the Saints, the Packers, the Cowboys, you know, the Seahawks. You still got the Rams,
yeah.
the 49ers undefeated. You know, the Eagles, like we talked about, Carolina.
Detroit
Lions. I mean, there's just a lot of quality teams in the NFC. There really is. I mean, there's going to be two or three legit playoff teams in the NFC not get in the playoffs because it's so deep and dense.
This will be the year where they say, like they do in the NBA from time to time, that they should just
they just
get rid
the
of conferences.
Top, yeah, right. It's just the top 12 teams and stop ruining
if
it.
If it's 8-4, it's 8-4.
Yeah, well, because, you know, you're going to be scared if you get like a New England-Oakland Raiders, you know, divisional round matchup game, and then we're
right.
all going to go, man, they won 49-0. That's no cool.
And an 11-5 Saints team is sitting at home.
Yeah, right. I mean, it could be. I mean, who knows? You're exactly right. I mean, it could very easily be that.
Cool.
All right.
We got every game in.
We hit it. I don't know if we hit every game.
We did.
I think you're lying.
No, we did.
I mean.
I think we did.
I guess you're right. We did. I mean, I'm going through it. Chicago, Oakland, Philly, Jets. We hit it, even though we didn't hit much. Okay, way to go. You're the man.
That's what I wanted to do.
Way to host the show, mofo.
We got it.
All right. We're out. Hope everybody enjoyed it. You know where to check us out. At Sims Unbutton on Instagram, at CSimsQB on Twitter. Look for me, Chris and Ahmed look at pictures or some other stupid name Ahmed tries to give it on
a
weekly basis.
We'll get a stupid
basis.
Name in there.
That we've been having fun doing that, and we're going to go do that here in a few minutes. But great Monday night game tonight, Browns, 49ers.
Gosh,
I'm pumped for that. I'm taking the Browns to win. I feel guilty because I'm picking
against
my friend.
Well, when people hear this, it might already be over, so you're either right or wrong.
Yeah.
Right now.
So we'll see. Who are you taking in the Browns, Niners?
I'm going to take 49ers.
Yeah,
he lives
in the Bay Area. Yeah. He's a homer, this guy. I know that for sure. All right, everybody out there, we'll check you out on Wednesday. Big Phil will be on there. I don't think I got a host, so we're going to do a lot of Ask Me Anythings, okay?
Oh, wow.
It's just going to be me, and I'm going to ask Big Phil to stay on for a little bit longer, which is not going to be hard to do because he can't shut his mouth, anybody. anyways, all right, everybody, peace out. Talk to you on Wednesday. See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.